During this episode of Making the Rounds, we'll be exploring the latest advancements and innovations in minimally invasive spine surgery and how the role of robotics has revolutionized the way we treat spine conditions. To learn more about these topics and other spine care services at Banner Health, please visit bannerhealth.com/brainandspine. Making the Rounds dives into medical topics with those who know them best, healthcare providers. My name is Bridget, and I'll be your host for today's episode. If you're new to our podcast, thank you for tuning in. And if you're a regular listener, welcome back. Joining me today on Making the Rounds is Dr. Richard Chua, a neurosurgeon specializing in minimally invasive spine surgery, the medical director for the Comprehensive Spine Program at Banner University Medical Center, Tucson, and is the director of minimally invasive spine surgery and robotics with the Department of Neurosurgery at the University of Arizona College of Medicine, Tucson. Thank you for joining me today, Dr. Chua, and welcome to Making the Rounds.
Thanks, Bridget. It's great to be here this morning.
Well, we're excited to have you. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm a neurosurgeon here at the Department of Neurosurgery and the University of Arizona, and I've been here for about a year and a half. Prior to that, I had been practicing private practice neurosurgery here in Tucson for almost 20 years, having previously practiced back in Indiana, where I'm originally from, for about 10 years before that.
Well, we're lucky to have you here at Banner. So we have a lot to cover, so let's just dive right in. Dr. Chua, can you explain the advantages of minimally invasive spine surgery for our patients? And what are the benefits of this approach and what it offers versus traditional spine surgery?
Sure. I've become a very passionate believer in minimally invasive surgery techniques for almost 20 years. And over time, have learned that minimally invasive techniques have several benefits for our patients. The main benefits are around the time of the surgery and the recovery. So when surgeons employ minimally invasive spine surgery techniques, we find that our patients do better, recover faster, and ultimately return to normal daily activities and living faster, quicker, and better than our traditional open surgery techniques. Specifically, we find our patients have much less pain after the surgery, which means they don't have to take as much pain medication and opiates. We find that patients are able to get up and walk and move around and get back to their living in their home much faster than previously. The other advantages include much less bleeding or need for blood transfusions for our bigger spine operations. The risk of infection in spine surgery is dramatically reduced when we employ minimally invasive techniques. But just doing minimally invasive techniques isn't good enough. We have to still do a good job of doing the operation. And so over 20 years, we've developed these techniques to maximize the outcomes and the results, but lessen the risks of all the complications that come with major spine surgery.
That's fascinating. So you mentioned risk of infection. You know, all of these improvements really enhance that patient experience. Tell us a little bit more about lowering the risk of infection and how you mentioned blood loss during surgery. You know, these are critical advantages during a spinal case, correct?
They are. And it's a combination of the actual techniques, but also the experience of the surgeon. And so when you combine an experienced minimally invasive spine surgeon with the benefits of minimally invasive spine surgery, we see dramatic reduction in infections. When we have infections after spine surgery, it's a significant added cost to the healthcare resources. The patients are required to be in the hospital. Sometimes they require further surgery. They require IV antibiotics for up to 6 weeks or 12 weeks. And all of those things lend to a less favorable outcome for the patient. So by employing the minimally invasive surgical techniques, we can dramatically reduce the infection risk. How do we do that? These operations tend to be more efficient. They're smaller incisions. There's less destruction of the soft tissue or the preliminary part of the surgery. We're exposing the entire spine to do an operation on a small part of the spine. And by reducing all of that, we find that the risk reduction is probably by more than 50 to 75%. In addition to that, because it's smaller incisions, less exposure of the spine, there's a lot less bleeding. And so we're now able to do simple and even complicated large operations, deformity, spinal deformity, scoliosis surgeries in a way that we can greatly reduce the amount of bleeding that occurs and the effects of bleeding on the patient. We can dramatically reduce the amount of blood transfusions that are necessary and have almost been able to eliminate blood transfusions as part of standard spine surgery. And all of those things are not just good for the patient, but good for the patient experience, patient's family's experience, and ultimately getting the patient home safer, faster, and getting back to their normal lives.
That's wonderful. You mentioned the experience of the surgeon. Dr. Chia, you've been at the forefront of implementing these advanced technologies in spine surgery. Could you share your personal journey and experience with us?
Yeah, it's been a phenomenal one. And I think when you have enough gray hair, as I do, you see the advancements in our technologies and how they benefit our patients. And when I first started in the practice of neurosurgery over 20 years ago, a traditional patient who had a lumbar fusion would be in the hospital for 3 to 5 days. In a tremendous amount of pain, unable to stand or walk for a day or two. We would oftentimes recommend those patients go to an inpatient rehabilitation hospital. Those patients oftentimes required significant amount of help at home from family and friends, or sometimes visiting nurses. And things like going back to tennis and golf, or now pickleball, really didn't even happen until the 6-month anniversary of the surgery, and that's in the best of circumstances. Now, with minimally invasive techniques and experienced surgeons and facilities where we have the resources to employ this comprehensive spine program, we're able to do many of these operations now as an outpatient. So patients can have a minimally invasive lumbar fusion and not stay in the hospital. They can go home and sleep in their own beds. They can be with their partner and their spouse and their family immediately after the surgery. They can be standing and walking within a few hours after their surgery. They can be going back to work within a few weeks. They can be going back to pickleball and golf and tennis within 6 to 12 weeks. And so we've seen a tremendous improvement in the patient's outcomes and the patient experience just by sort of sticking our head into the ground, learning the technique, refining the technique, improving the technique, and getting a total buy-in from our entire team.
So when you're saying 12 weeks, you're back to pickleball. That's fascinating.
Yeah,
that
is fascinating. My patients are hitting golf balls at 6 weeks, 3 to 4 weeks sometimes.
And that is truly the advancements. And
right.
When you look at the advancements in robotic surgery, I want to talk about this topic in greater depth, that role of technology.
Yeah.
So how do robotics and artificial intelligence enhance spine surgery outcomes and safety? Walk us through that a little bit.
Yeah, the newest technology probably over the last 5 years is incorporating robotics, artificial intelligence, predictive modeling, and computer-based planning software to our ability to perform spine surgery. And these can be done either with the open traditional techniques or the minimally invasive techniques. The analogy I like to use is your GPS in your car or on your phone. We all use our GPS, probably more so than we'd like to admit, but we generally use it by placing our destination for our trip. And then we just hit go, and we allow the GPS to navigate us towards our endpoint. But in reality, we don't realize that our navigation systems in our car and on our phone allow us to plan and save on the navigation plan where we want to stop for breakfast and coffee, where we need to stop for gas, where we need to stop for lunch. And if you can plan your entire trip for vacation or to a conference and then just execute the plan by hitting the GPS and hitting go, or the other analogy is hit the button on your self-driving car, you can imagine that planning a trip is just like planning a major spine surgery. If I can use the technology to plan all facets of the spine surgery with a computer software, which allows me to design a patient-specific surgery and design patient-specific implants, rods and screws and devices that I use to achieve the spinal fusion, then it goes to show that by planning and then executing the operation, we can be better about our plan, we can be better about the patient outcome, and we can take all of the advantages of each of the individual technologies, bring them together so that the patient experience is better than it was before or can be in the future.
Can you elaborate a little bit more on focusing on the accuracy and those planning aspects? And, you know, this goes down to, you know, where you even place these screws, right? Can you walk us through, you know, that ability to create these personalized plans?
Right. So many of our spinal fusion operations require instrumentation or screws and rods to stabilize the spine while the bone is healing and to allow or achieve what's called a fusion. But you can imagine putting screws and rods into the spine has some potential risk and complication. If the screw isn't absolutely in the right place, it can injure a nerve. If the screw is not in the right place, it can injure the spinal sac and cause a spinal fluid leak. If the accuracy is not as good as it should be, the screw can actually damage the joint above where we're doing the fusion or the joint below. And that can accelerate what's known as the degenerative spine process or the adjacent degenerative spine process. And that condition can lead to more problems in the future and more surgery. So the accuracy of a surgeon placing screws is of paramount importance. And while we were mostly accurate to the tune of about 70 to 80% 20 to 30 years ago, our technologies such as surgical navigation, computerized robotics, allows us to get to accuracy between 98 and 99%. And while we like to be proud of our accuracy rate, what we have to remember is that one screw that's not accurate can lead to patient harm. And that one inaccurate screw can lead to a longer length of stay for the hospital and the patient. It may require another surgery to replace or fix that screw. And those add up. And not only can that add up to a poor patient experience, but it increases our resource utilization, which is very precious right now as we move forward after COVID. So anything we can do and use the technology to make the experience, make the surgery safer, better and more precise, typically our outcomes will follow that strategy. In addition, we now have these super sophisticated software plans that allow me to plan the surgery from the comfort of my office on a computer weeks in advance of the patient's spine surgery. And that software allows me to plan where the incision is, how big or small the incision is, what muscle I'm going to go through to do the surgery. I can individualize a patient's plan based on their x-rays, their MRI scan, and their CAT scan. And we work with industry partners so that we're literally making patient-specific implants. But just like you'd go to the store, we'd all love to have a tailor measure us for our suit or our dress. Typically, we go off the shelf and we know that it's going to fit fairly well, but it just doesn't fit perfectly. But we now have the technology to make the implants fit perfectly for our spine surgery patients. And ultimately, that can and should improve the outcomes, can and should reduce the complications. And the most important of which is reducing the chances that patients need more surgery in the future. Something we've really kind of battled over the last 20 to 30 years in spine surgery. Because the spine is such a complicated organ system, what we do to one part of the spine can and will affect the other part of the spine in a bad way. And so we'd like to use the technology to reduce that effect.
Dr. Chua, Banner Health is committed to bringing advanced technologies. As you're sharing with us here today, you know, those tailored technologies, those unique resources for these individual patients and their unique conditions. And patient-centered care to our communities is what Banner Health, you know, prides themselves on. And here at Banner University Medicine, we're really excited about the advancements that we have here in our local community in Tucson, Arizona. Tell us about, you know, some of the technologies that set us apart from the other systems in the area and what's on the horizon when it comes to the field of spine surgery here at Banner University Medicine.
Banner University Medical Center Tucson has been incredibly supportive of our efforts in our comprehensive spine program to elevate the care that we provide to all of our spine surgery patients, whether they're patients of the orthopedic spine surgeons or the neurosurgery spine surgeons. In the past, Banner University Medicine Tucson has been supportive of surgical navigation, which is becoming a commonplace tool and enabling technology in spine surgery and cranial surgery or brain surgery, but Banner has upped the ante, and we now have several systems for navigation. Within the last 2 years, Banner University Medical Tucson was able to support our efforts in robotics and spine surgery, and I'm very proud to tell you the story that we are the only hospital system in Tucson that utilizes robotics for spine surgery. And while Banner Tucson has been able to support other robotic programs here, we've now added a spine surgery program using robotics and now predictive modeling and artificial intelligence. And these technologies certainly will take us into the future and continue to improve our efforts at making these surgeries better and safer for our patients. The really exciting new thing is augmented reality or virtual reality. And we're looking at different systems right now in combination with Banner and the University of Arizona to hopefully be a forefront leader in applying and incorporating augmented reality or immersive augmented reality into the operating room. And that just takes our technologies and our accuracies and our precision to yet another level. And if we can take our precision to another level, we improve our outcomes, we reduce our complications. And it's also important for recruitment. So being able to support these technologies and programs allows us to recruit and train the next generation of spine surgeons. And so we're very, very happy that we have a wonderful relationship with the industry, and bringing these technologies in for our residents and our spine fellows to be exposed to these, to be able to train in these, and to allow us to sort of lead the future leaders of spine surgery and train our future spine surgeons. So it not only helps us and supports our efforts at today and what we offer to our patients today, but it offers support and resources to our surgeons who we train, who will ultimately leave the University of Arizona and go to different states and other hospitals and health systems. And so we want to be at the forefront of being able to use technology to additionally train our future surgeons.
Well, that's exciting work, definitely. Dr. Choa, I want to shift gears a little bit, and I want to talk about the accessibility of minimally invasive spine surgery. How available is minimally invasive spine surgery in our local community? So when you share that Banner's at the forefront of these procedures and these technologies, tell us a little bit about how available that is, and can you share some of those surgical options that we do have here at Banner University of Medicine?
Sure, it's a great question. So if we look at the country, only about a third of spine surgeons identify as being minimally invasive spine surgeons. And when we look at that third of surgeons who claim to be minimally invasive spine surgeons, many of those surgeons dabble in minimally invasive spine surgery and offer an occasional surgical technique for a certain diagnosis, but not a comprehensive minimally invasive spine surgery philosophy. Here at Banner, and I'm proud to be a part of a spine surgery group that looks at minimally invasive spine surgery in every patient as an option or as a potential. And by doing that, we all sort of row the boat in the same direction, and we offer these procedures to patients for a variety of diagnoses, not just one diagnosis or two diagnoses. And I'm proud to say at Banner University Medicine Tucson, we have surgeons that have comprehensive experience so that the majority of spine surgeries can be done using that minimally invasive spine surgical philosophy. And so when we look at the different diagnoses or conditions, we first start with our aging population. And our population is at risk for developing compression fractures or broken bones due to osteoporosis. And when patients have this very, very debilitating condition, they can be treated with a minimally invasive philosophy of a needle-based procedure of injecting cement into the broken bone, immediately stabilizing the fracture, and having greater than 90% pain relief within 24 to 48 hours. And that treatment is a minimally invasive treatment using minimally invasive spine philosophy. Our more other common conditions include back and neck conditions, and those diagnoses can include herniated discs, spinal stenosis from arthritis causing narrowing of the spinal nerves, or spinal instability due to the aging process of the spine. And all of those diagnoses and all of those treatment options can include minimally invasive techniques. Even our spinal deformity or scoliosis patients, including our elderly population, we have the opportunity to do these very complex and complicated surgeries using the minimally invasive techniques and philosophy. And while we can't do every single operation using minimally invasive techniques, the majority of our surgeries can now be done using some form of minimally invasive surgery and minimally invasive surgical philosophy.
Dr. Shoa, you had mentioned there is a team of specialists that are involved in these procedures and in the care of these patients through the minimally invasive spine process. Collaboration is key in healthcare. Can you highlight the importance of having that multidisciplinary team in providing that comprehensive spine care? What does that mean here at Banner?
Yeah, so here at Banner, in our comprehensive spine surgery program, we have a number of people that help us make that patient experience better. And it all starts with the patient. So I like to think of the patient as our most important collaborator. And so in doing that, we designed a patient education program or class for patients who are going to undergo elective spine surgery. And so with the help of Alana Gonzalez, our spine program manager, we designed an outpatient educational class where patients who are going to be scheduled for surgery are asked to attend a class. And during that hour, hour and a half class, which patients can get online and Zoom in, we educate them about the patient experience, what's going to happen the morning of their surgery, what's going to happen during the surgery, what's going to happen after the surgery. And by doing that, we can help reduce a lot of anxiety and fear amongst the patients and the family members. We can educate them about the process and what to expect. We can expect that we will be able to share this information in a way that improves their understanding of the progress after surgery. We find that that reduces not only anxiety in the patients and families, it reduces the complications that we have to take care of. It reduces the number of phone calls and unnecessary visits to the emergency room and to our clinic after surgery. So our most important collaborator is with our patient and their family. But the next is our entire team, and as they say, it takes a village to do this. So we have a spine program manager who makes a point-to-point contact with every patient before and after our spine surgery to make sure they get escorted, almost like a concierge process, through their journey. Here at the hospital, we have an entire team of physical therapists, occupational therapists, nurse case managers, and a whole host of people that help our patients recover as quickly as possible. And we can't do that without looking at, studying, evaluating, and assessing our quality. Are we doing the things that we say we're going to do? And so we have a program in our quality department where we measure everything about our spine surgery program, not just patient satisfaction, but how long they're in the hospital, how much medicine did they require, were there any infections, were they able to get up and out of bed within hours after the surgery or within a day or two after the surgery. And so that collaborative effort amongst all of our professional staff is really key. And then we sort of look at the surgical side of things, and we collaborate with our orthopedic spine colleagues, as well as our neurosurgery spine colleagues. And now we have four spine surgeons in both of those departments that help collaborate. We meet 2 to 3 times a month, and we review challenging cases, difficult cases, all in preparation for delivering the best operation, the best patient experience. And then the next most important collaborative effort is with our referring physician. So we try our best to communicate with our referring physicians or other physicians who have participated in the care of that patient's problem or condition in the spine. And that can be their primary care provider, it can be a neurologist, it can be the pain management department, and other providers who have helped touch that patient. We're just one small part of the entire collaborative team.
Thank you for that. And thank you for sharing that patient's journey and the pre and post care that really highlights that patient experience. Can you describe what does that typical referral pathway look like for patients that are seeking spine surgery or that would want that consult? And what role does the primary care physician play in this process?
You know, it's interesting. Early in my career, I would answer this question by saying the most important referral process for a patient and access to a spine surgeon or our program comes through their primary care physician. And I think that's still a very important way So we do our best to communicate and educate and keep our primary care providers up to date on the process of evaluating the patient through the process, even if they don't need surgery, but even more importantly, if they do have surgery. But now I've seen a change in our access to care, and many patients just look us up on the internet and Google spine surgery in Tucson, Arizona. So patients will independently, not necessarily with their primary care physician, look to access our spine surgeons. And we have a process of evaluating those phone calls, setting them up for patient visits, allowing us to work together with their other providers so that we give them the most comprehensive care. It's important to connect to those other providers. And here at Banner University Medicine Tucson, we have an electronic medical record that allows us to communicate very rapidly and efficiently with our partners in Phoenix or in Casa Grande or other parts of the state of Arizona, because patients do come to Tucson for specific comprehensive care. And so by using that electronic medical record, we do our best to communicate to the entire team of providers.
Thank you for that. And understanding that referral process is crucial. Can you share with us what are the most common spine conditions and diagnosis that lead patients to seek that surgical consult?
There are a variety of conditions, and all of us have probably suffered from these before, but even the acute episode of straining your back and muscle spasms with sciatica oftentimes or frequently are referred to a neurosurgeon. And in most of those cases, those patients do not require surgery. Two-thirds to three-quarters of patients with a sudden onset of a back or neck condition actually get better with some time, some tender loving care, some over-the-counter medications, and even some treatments by other professionals such as chiropractors, physical therapists, and massage therapists. But there are conditions that do deserve and require an evaluation by a spine surgeon. Those might be things like herniated discs, which are oftentimes an injury-related condition that can cause sciatica or pain down the leg or pain down an arm. Spinal stenosis, which is typically an aging condition of arthritis in the spine that can create back pain or neck pain with or without symptoms traveling down the arms or the legs. The other common conditions are spondylolisthesis, again, a process of aging in the spine of deterioration, which can cause a mechanical problem with the bones and joints of the spine, but also a compressed nerve problem, giving leg pain or leg weakness. And we find these conditions very commonly in all of our age groups, and particularly in Arizona, where we have a very fit lifestyle of patients well into their 70s and 80s, people who like to hike and canoe and swim and bicycle. And so we need to tailor those treatment options or an evaluation of those patients to allow them to continue that healthy lifestyle.
Oh, thank you. That's helpful to know that these patients can seek those options on their own time and with the consult of a primary care physician or a specialist. Can you shared, you know, that two-third of a population that may or may not need a surgical intervention, and you had mentioned physical therapy. Let's talk about a little bit about the recovery process. Can you explain the role of physical therapy in pre- and post-operative care for spine surgery patients, and what is that impact on their recovery?
Physical therapy is such an incredible and important part of the care of a patient with a spine condition, especially if they have an operation. And it never really hit home for me until I became a patient with an injury that required a knee surgery. And I remember as if it was yesterday the recovery and how challenging and difficult it was before I started doing my post-operative physical therapy. And I'm convinced that with the expertise and the enthusiasm of my therapist and a little bit of time and patience, I would not have recovered from my knee surgery as well as I did without the professionalism of the physical therapist. And so I'm a very, very deep believer in physical therapy. Part of our patient education process includes prehab or prehabilitation. And so in many circumstances, we will request that patients go through a physical therapy process before surgery, not because we're trying to improve their symptoms and avoid an operation, but because we know they're going to recover better and faster and more efficiently if they understand the concepts of what they're going to be required to do after surgery. It's exceedingly important to have those patients engaged in the physical therapy process as soon as possible after surgery. And that can include the day of the surgery from the recovery room, or the patients that may stay in the hospital 1 or 2 days or a few days. That recovery and rehabilitation process starts almost immediately. And we find that patients do excessively well if they're able to take matters into their own hand, comply, and follow the educational process and the program, because we know that without those physical therapy programs, patients just don't have as good a result. Their recovery is longer, harder, more difficult, and they may not be able to achieve the outcome that they want without that postoperative physical therapy progress. And here in Tucson, we're blessed with a number of facilities here at Banner University Medicine Tucson in the community, as well as non-Banner facilities that are all striving towards the goal of the best patient outcome.
Right, absolutely. In our Banner communities, we definitely do have our partners in physical therapy with Banner Physical Therapy. And, you know, as you said in a previous conversation that you and I had was, you know, physical therapy is all about patient compliance. And, you know, patients are a little more compliant when it's close to home or it's close to work. And, you know, and I think that that's something that, you know, we really pride ourselves on, in that care for the patient and allowing them to be part of that decision and allowing them to be part of their treatment of care. And your collaboration with that patient is key, and that continued communication and that relationship. So I can't thank you enough for being here with us today. And do you have any closing comments or any final thoughts that you want to share with our referring community or a patient out there that may be considering a spinal procedure or looking for a consult?
Well, I think I'm blessed and honored to be here at Banner University of Medicine Tucson and serving the community of Tucson. I've been here almost 20 years now. And I think the future is really, really bright for spine surgery here in Tucson and in Southern Arizona. And I think as long as we can continue to advance these techniques and technologies, as long as we can continue to measure our performances, we will 5 years from now offer a better patient experience than we are today. And I think it's very challenging in this day and age of the socioeconomics of medicine to be able to predict or say that we can offer something better for our patients within the next 5 years. Unfortunately, parts of medicine transform slowly, and some parts of medicine transform quickly. And in this post-COVID era, I'm happy to say I think in spine surgery, we're leading the forefront of adding technologies, adding different philosophies to make our patients have a better outcome with lower risks, lower complications, and getting back to life.
I love that. Thank you, Dr. Chua, and thank you for sharing these amazing advancements in the world of minimally invasive spine surgery.
Thanks for having me, Bridget.
If you want to learn more about the neurosurgery specialists and programs available at Banner Health, please visit bannerhealth.com/brain and spine for more information. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time on Making the Rounds.